Podcast Macabre, Episode 29, A Tale of Cain, by Drew Ahrens. Welcome to Cast Macabre, I'm Barry Northern, your host. It's a shorty but a goodie this week from Drew Ahrens, whose short stories have been published in various UK and American print magazines, anthologies and online venues, including Champagne Shivers, Ray Gun Revival, Drabblecast and Strange, Weird and Wonderful Magazine. A Tale of Cain is read by Bob Eccles, a Pushcart Prize nominated writer of short horror and sci-fi. Bob is also submissions editor for Flashes in the Dark, and you can find his author's page, Robert C. Eccles, on Facebook, and his blog, Tiny Terrors, at shortandscary.blogspot.com. Now, we've a tale to tell.
A Tale of Cain, by Drew Ahrens. Billy Lee is coming back to get me tonight. He was so incredibly angry the last time, and I'm sure his mood isn't any better now. Whatever his temper, I'll be right here at home waiting for him. He knows where he can find me. How do I know my brother's coming on this specific night? I can't rightly say. Perhaps the message is borne on the evening breeze as it rustles the curtains of my bedroom window. Now that I have time to truly listen, I can hear and understand so much that I couldn't before. I'm sure he still hates me for helping Marilyn get away from him, still harbors that crazy notion that she and I were lovers. He was always insanely jealous of her. Guess that's why he beat on her so much. Truth is, she was the most faithful wife a man ever had. She loved Billy Lee too much. Never could bring herself to file abuse charges against him. Thought she could change him if she just cared for him enough. Thank God, after that last beating, I finally convinced her that he'd eventually kill her if she didn't leave. Wherever she ran away to, I can only hope he never finds her. How long has Marilyn been gone? Well, how long ago was it that I last saw Billy Lee? It's so hard to keep track of time now. Let's see, it must have been about a month ago. I was sitting right here on this bed, about to get undressed for the night, when I heard the front door being kicked open. Billy Lee came racing up the stairs, screaming my name. He'd been drinking, as usual, for that time of the night, and he was in a rage. We met in the upstairs hallway.
"There you are, you bastard. I found this note that Marilyn left on the dresser."
He held up a crumpled piece of paper in his right hand.
"But you know all about this, don't you?"
I breathed a sigh of relief. I'd given Marilyn the money for a cross-country bus ticket the day before, but didn't know if she'd go through with it. Billy Lee came right up to my face.
"Where'd she go, Jerry? You were planning on joining her later, weren't you? Well, you waited just a little too long."
"That's absurd, Billy Lee," I said. "Truth is, she should have left you a long time ago, the very first time you ever hit her." My words only increased his anger, but I wasn't afraid to face him. He was a violent person, but he always attacked people weaker than he was. I was bigger and stronger, and I knew that my younger brother wouldn't dare start a fight. What I hadn't figured on was that he would be carrying a gun, that he could be crazed enough to actually want to kill me. Billy Lee got a wild look in his eyes, and then he pulled a pistol out of his jacket pocket.
"You aren't ever going to enjoy Marilyn's charms again, Jerry," he said. "I'm ending your half of the affair right now, and I'll do the same with Marilyn as soon as I find her."
It was obvious that he wasn't bluffing, and suddenly I was very frightened. I backed away slowly into the bedroom, trying to think of how to save myself. As I opened my mouth to speak again, Billy Lee pulled the trigger. The bullet slammed into my stomach, sending a searing pain racing through my body. I staggered backwards and fell onto the bed. The wound was already bleeding profusely by the time I hit the covers. Billy Lee walked over to the bed and looked down at me with an evil glare. All I could do was watch helplessly as he pointed the gun at my chest and squeezed the trigger again. His semi-automatic pistol made a faint clicking sound, but didn't fire. The weapon had jammed after the first shot. Billy Lee stared at the gun for a few seconds, then swore disgustedly and began jerking on the pistol's slide mechanism. I wanted desperately to say something to him, to try and talk him out of this madness before it was too late for both of us. But I was too weak, and in too much pain to do anything except moan. As I lay on the bed while he struggled ineffectively to clear his gun, we were interrupted by the wail of an approaching siren. The noise panicked Billy Lee.
You knew I'd be coming for you. Called the police before I got here, didn't you? Well, don't you worry. I'll be back soon enough to finish the job.
He turned and ran out of the room. Then I heard the back door of the house slam and assumed that he'd gone out through the kitchen into the adjacent woods to make his escape. Seconds later, the loud siren passed the house and continued on its way. It sounded like an ambulance, but unfortunately, it wasn't coming to help me. My hands trembled as I placed them over my gaping wound. Lord, it hurt like hell, and I was so terrified of dying. I didn't have the strength to move, so I just lay there, hoping that somebody had heard the shot and that the bleeding would stop. After a while, it did. So tonight, Billy Lee is coming back to get me, a promise I always knew he'd keep. The only surprise is that he's waited this long. Perhaps he's been far away, frantically searching for Marilyn. My God, what if he finally caught up with her? Could that be the reason he's returning for me at last? I hear a car stopping in the driveway, and now somebody's opening the front door of the house, very quietly. Since the house is totally dark, Billy Lee must figure I'm asleep, so this time he's sneaking in. He doesn't realize that I've actually been in darkness for a week, since the electric company cut off the power. Now, soft footsteps are on the stairs, like a person tiptoeing. Soon, Billy Lee will be in the room. There's no possibility of my fleeing, but I'm no longer afraid. There's no reason to be, anymore. There he is at the bedroom door. I can see his dim figure in the moonlight shining through the window, and he can see me. Once again, he takes the pistol out of his jacket, while his left hand reaches for the light switch by the door. He seems momentarily taken aback when the light doesn't come on, but then turns his attention back to me.
Wake up, Jerry! It's judgment day! He yells.
I can tell by his voice that he's drunk.
You knew I'd come back to get you, and you're just waiting there in bed like the damn fool you are. At least Marilyn knows how to hide. I looked for that tramp over the entire West Coast and still haven't... Oh, well, she can wait. I'm back in town now to take care of you.
Billy Lee raises the gun and fires it repeatedly at me from the doorway. The lead slugs tear deep into my body, ripping through vital organs. They're very hot, and they singe what they touch. But this time, I do not bleed, nor do I feel any pain. My excited brother takes in a deep breath, and for the first time he notices the odor.
Good Lord, he says. What the hell is that stink?
He reaches in his pocket and pulls out his cigarette lighter, lighting it as he walks over to the bed. He holds it close to my head, trying to get a good look. The heat from the flame alarms the maggots on my face, and they scatter. Billy Lee lets out a loud cry of horror. He throws up his hands, dropping both the gun and the cigarette lighter. The pistol hits the floor harmlessly, while the lighter lands on the bed beside my body. Then Billy Lee runs in a panic from the room, just as he did last month. But this time he's trying to run in the dark. I hear the sound of him falling down the stairs, and a loud thud on the living room floor. Then everything is quiet once more. I feel heat all around me as the bed covers ignite, and the deathly silence gives way to the roar of flames. The fire spreads rapidly to the carpet and curtains and walls, and then rushes through the open window, upward to the roof, lighting up the night. Sirens are again wailing in the distance, getting louder. Someone has seen the burning house and sounded the alarm, and soon Billy Lee and I will be getting plenty of attention. The visitors will find Billy Lee lying crumpled and still at the foot of the stairs. Then they will find what's left of my burning body, resting on this bed where I have remained since that fateful night a month ago. Without either of us saying a word, we will tell them all that they need to know.
I once left a job where I was unhappy. The moment I walked out, a whole slew of problems lay before me, but at that moment, a great weight seemed to have been lifted. There were suddenly so many things that I just didn't have to worry about anymore. I suspect this may be what the last moments of life are like, the realization that not even your body matters anymore, not even if it slowly rots away, gets shot at and then burned up, I guess. Well, let's hope so anyway. I hope you liked this week's story. If you did, please comment on our Facebook page. page, or even better, sign up to the forums at cosmicarp.org. We've got so many longer stories in the pipeline, so I hope you don't mind a few shorter ones. And if you do, let us know over at the forums. As ever, we rely on you to pay our authors. Hang on, isn't that what Alistair says in Pseudopod? Oh, well, it's the same deal here. We can't pay authors $100 yet, though, but every author you've heard since in the last few months has been paid at least £5 for their work. Listener numbers are slowly rising, and it's very rewarding to see so many people enjoying the show. Thanks once again to co-editor Graham Dunlop. Cosmicarp is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Music from musicalley.com. Credits in the show notes. Theme music by Pain Factor.